Now we are. Now that you asked.
No, you. how late is it at your place right now?
It is currently 1 a.m. in the morning.
It's 2 a.m. by me.
Ooh. Yeah. And it's 9 a.m. for me.
This is the most time-differentiated, wacky-ass podcast on the face of the goddamn planet.
Yeah, it is. This is, well, really fucked up, not gonna lie.
We switched things up a bit. Now I'm the one who woke recently up, in quotes, and you're the one who are about to call it a day.
Me? Sleep? Have you met me?
No, you have to play Ark, I know.
I have a minimum of 12 hours of Ark that I need to play per day before I can sleep.
And, you have a schedule.
A minimum of 12 hours of Ark. Now, does this include After Dark Ark, jerking off Ark, taking Ark and, you know, using it while you're in the bathroom? Where does the pauses of this happen? Or is it just one of those crazy-ass things where you sit down in that chair and you don't move for 12 hours?
Oh, there's food and bathroom breaks.
Okay.
I'm not a Neanderthal.
I know people that when a new game comes out for their PC, they bring in, like, a case of, you know, shit. Two cases of Mountain Dew, some bottles to piss in, and, like, a microwave with an endless supply of Hot Pockets. And they don't fucking leave the room for a day.
Yeah, I am not that type of a neck. I am not a neckbeard. I'm not. Surprisingly, with work, school, ARC, I still manage to have a girlfriend and a social life. I'm not sure when I actually sleep anymore.
How many hours of sleep would you say you get a day?
Depends on the day. Let's see. The past 2 days, about 4 hours of sleep. Day before that. No, okay, so. No, 4, 4, 4. 12, 8. Okay, there we go.
12 hours.
4, 4, 4, and then 12 hours.
12 hours on Saturday, and then 8 the day before that.
I think your body's trying to tell you something, brother.
Well, it needs to find a new method of communication because it's not working.
I think it's trying to say, I need more sleep!
Not sure why my body has the voice of a munchkin.
Because you don't love me enough.
A slightly Spanish accented munchkin. What are you guys drinking tonight?
I need to go get my booze.
Always needs to go get his booze.
Yeah, that's a very spontaneous episode, but that says nothing because he never has his booze ready. But I'm starting with mine, and I have I can pronounce it. La Sucarada Cerveza Artesanal Premium. It's some, I think.
I understood Spanish, La Cucaracha and Cerveza.
Yeah, that's at least that. It's a high fermented beer, a winter honey ale style thing.
So, I've got to ask you, as a German, what do you think of cervezas?
That was a pretty good cerveza, and it's with rosemary, and but generally, I can drink them, but they are too expensive here in Germany.
That's...
I mean, a bottle of Desperados or Corona costs like 2 euros? No, I'm not. No. There's better beer for 2 euros.
That is the weirdest concept. I mean, I know we talked about it in the past, but... A cerveza here is like, I mean, on an average day, probably about like $1.20 a bottle. And it's like the cheap man, like poor man's beer. Even like the good cervezas are super cheap.
Well, our cheap beer is German beer, but it's good beer. So, well, I mean, we have some brands nobody likes, like, Schlosshofer or all the discount market beers in plastic bottles. Oh my god, I hate beer in plastic bottles.
Also a very foreign concept to me. Like, there are no beers served in plastic bottles where I am. They're either in cans or they're in glass.
Yeah, no, there's beer in aluminum boxes.
That's okay.
I've never seen that. I've seen kegs. But that's normal.
You mean aluminum? Sorry, I thought you mean cans. No. Don't put beer in aluminum boxes.
It's
no.
Like the same thing they put like cheap wine in. It's like a box. Or
milk?
No, we don't put milk in that. Really.
We put milk in aluminum boxes.
What the hell? Why can no other countries but America do that right? Okay? Plastic jug. It's perfect for milk. You get to pick it up, you pour it over your cereal, there's no spillage. Canada, you have plastic bags, which you open and the milk shoots everywhere. And Germany, they have aluminum cans for milk?
Aluminum boxes, how are they called? Do you know Tetra Packs?
No.
They are aluminum inside. That's why I said aluminum boxes. I think I'm a bit lost in translation right now, but I show you what I mean.
I'm broken. Okay. I'm a broken man. I don't understand. There's aluminum inside that?
Yeah.
We have cardboard cartons, but we don't have aluminum inside the cardboard.
It's not always inside, but sometimes.
Oh yeah, we have those types of paper milk containers for smaller size milks.
But yes, but he's saying there's aluminum inside of that.
Some of ours have it too.
Mm-hmm. Like a foil? Like just a foil kind of thing?
Yeah. On the ultra premium milk, okay. It's lined with a foil thing. Yeah.
I was thinking the harder metal aluminum kind of stuff.
Like a military grade aluminum container?
Not military grade, but I mean cans? Like how that's a thicker aluminum?
Well, we have beer in cans, but you also have beer in cans, right?
Yes. It's not classy, but it's normal.
I think I really like beer in cans because that remembers me of my teenager time. So I think I started drinking with friends when I was 14, but it's actually legal at 16. So
I started drinking when I was 18, almost 19. It's not legal till 21. Oh, Storm, what are you drinking?
Apple pie hooch.
As in actual moonshine?
Yep.
Hell yeah, buddy. Rocking the hard
stuff.
Good
time.
I know a guy that knows a guy that knows a lady, and it just kind of appears magically on my doorstep. And money is left under a rock, and questions are not asked, and it is really good.
And services are rendered, such as American way of capitalism.
That's right.
So in America,
there's
you're
money
paying
under rocks. There's services being provided. No questions asked.
That's right.
Yes. So just imagine, like you're having rocks at the payout at the checkouts, and you just put your money underneath the stones.
Can I get change for that 20? No, no, sir, no change.
No, you have to look underneath the change rock then. So
the change rock?
what makes it worse is my friend asked, well, if I leave my American Express under the rock, can they take it? And I'm like, oh my God. Seriously, dude?
It doesn't work like that.
They don't. We do this so that way we don't even know what each other looks like, you dumbass.
I mean, technically you could just do a PayPal kind of thing too, but you don't know what you're quite getting into there.
Holy shit, this batch is strong.
Whoa! It's moonshine.
Dang.
I don't drink moonshine on ordinary occasions. By the sounds of it, Storm is drinking the actually overproof moonshine. That moonshine that I can't even handle is just regular proof that you can actually buy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this has got a punch.
I'm not a moonshine fan, except it has raspberries in it. Like, they put sometimes put raspberries in the jars and put the moonshine over it, and that's pretty good for especially for cooking.
Ooh, I've never actually cooked with moonshine. I might give that a try.
Yeah, but to do fruits in it before and let it stand for a month or something, so it gets the aroma. Yeah, and what are you drinking, Cor?
Oh, I don't know. This doesn't have a proper name. So what I just mixed together what little I have left in my liquor cabinet. And it is one part amaretto, a wash of absinthe, mixed with sour and margarita mix. I don't know what the hell it is. It's good. I like it.
Okay, give the cocktail a name. Give it now. Speak.
It's green. Like a limey, lemony, limey kind of green. It's got absinthe, which is... And amaretto. Verdi. We can call it the Verdi.
The Verdi. Yeah, the Verdi. Let's call it the Verdi.
The Verdi Birdie. Okay.
The Verdi Birdie. But how is the... So that I already said that. The Verdi Birdie is a good...
It's one. Very sweet. And it has just that little kick of absinthe to it. Like when you're... Like it's in your mouth. So, kind of tropical with a mixture of what the fuck.
A surprising cocktail. A yes. Surprising Verdi Verdi. Okay.
Okay, this is...
A surprising Verdi Verdi. Oh my goodness. Wow. Y'all are something special.
I don't know, that's the best I could come up with on the spot. Don't accuse me. This is episode 18 of Bird Life. I'm Cor.
I'm Fleeks.
And I'm Apple High Something Hooch.
He is the straight ethanol griffin.
Tired. Okay. today we want to talk about mythological birds.
Oh, really?
Yay! and all the fantasy birds and fictional birds in general, but yeah, you know, everything that's somehow connected to religions or fantasy.
Okay,
stories.
So like Pokemon.
Pokemon, they are computer. I mean, like the classical ones, like griffins, for example. Did you know that griffin? Do you know griffins, Core?
I'm mythical?
Yeah, you're a mythical creature.
Storm's a Pokemon.
The fuck?
Well, Pokemon birds are often like related to some mythical birds, so maybe
they have Pokemon that are based off of gears. Don't give me that
griffin.
Shit.
They are based on there's one that is based on a griffin too, and it has a strange name.
What is the name? I have to ask.
I forgot it. Which from the newest edition?
Okay. Newest edition. What type of Pokemon was it?
The Griffin Pokemon that one of the main characters you're meeting has type zero or something.
Type null. Zero. Okay, type null.
Type
I
null.
Would say it's a Griffin. It's definitely a hybrid of something, though.
It's based on a Griffin.
Okay, so Storm is type null.
Type Mall, yeah. And I'm Picky Peck. And I'm not evolving to a toucan. Yeah, and you know what you are. You're a raven with a hat. Pokemon.
No,
I forgot the name again.
I am not. I am not a Murkrow.
Oh, you know how to murder all night long. Come on.
Yep, saw that one coming.
Core hates the mafia design of this Crow.
I hate everything about Murkrow. It is a wimpy-ass piece-of-shit Pokemon. It has a stupid-ass hat. And as Storm established, it has Murr in the name. Fuck that.
I myself love Pikipek, so I'm not sad about it. I just don't understand the last evolution.
It makes totally no sense. Woodpecker, okay, toucan.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to say something that will piss off a lot of fans, but I'm sorry, guys. Don't take it personal. There's not a lot about Pokemon that makes sense, especially as it got older and they kept bringing more and more into the mix. Because when you start having gears that can somehow be a Pokemon, logic has left the fucking building. I'm sorry.
Nah, well, man, logic never applied to Pokemon.
Yeah, you don't need anthropomorphized logic in video
muck.
Games.
Muck is literally just goo that formed from toxic waste and became a Pokemon.
Or you have a trash bag that is a
same generation Pokemon. As the gears, yes.
Yeah, that was a good generation. But yeah, you have to consider the Japanese kind of thinking, and they are even giving things some kind of soul. So that all comes from Japanese culture.
Jinx is just a female version of Mr. Popo from Dragon Ball Z. That's all it is.
And then there is that, I don't know the English words for the Pokemon, but the one with the nose Pokemon. It's just a nose with eyes.
The one that's based off of the heads, the Easter Island heads?
Yeah. And it has nosial hair, the evolution.
It does. It's not a mustache. It's a giant bush.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. I love how I derailed your mythical Pokemon thing, or your mythical birds into Pokemon.
You derailed yourself with that. So, we want to talk about mythical creatures. And at first, I want to ask you, what's your favorite kind of mythical creature from the mythologies or fantasy romance?
Yes, Cor, what is your favorite?
Well, Odin had a couple of ravens that acted as his eyes, which is pretty badass.
Now, are these the two eyeball ravens or the three eyeball ravens?
Two. They both have two eyes. They're just ordinary. They're big, normal. They're big, but they're otherwise normal ravens that just acted as Odin's extra eyes.
Because I've seen some magical ravens that have a third eye that look creepy but badass at the same time. That's why.
No, those are just stoners.
Just stoners. Because
so,
I was high. Because I was high. Okay.
So aside from the obvious raven bias, I would have to go with like the Quetzalcoatl. It's like half dragon, half bird, but it's fucking love like the mythology around the Quetzalcoatl.
Okay.
Not a lot of people know about that actually, and I applaud you for knowing what the hell that is.
Quetzalcoatl is a bestia from Final Fantasy. No.
No, seriously. Now, there are something called like a Dracogriff, but a Quetzalcoatl is actually a unique species unto itself.
It very much so is. It's so, from what I remember, it's like a pre-American deity. So it's a god, but it's a feathered serpent, but it is very, very bird heavy on that feathered serpent part. And very, very colorful, kind of like the actual, are they called Quetzals or Coatls down in South America? I don't remember. But the very colorful bird that's down there.
Yeah, Quetzalcoatl is cute in some ways. Well, if you can call godlike bird creature cute, of course.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as I was like looking it up to make sure I'm fact-checking correctly here, I pulled up a picture of a Quetzalcoatl literally like eating a person. Like, oh, okay, I guess they're cute. Sure.
Yeah, they are eating people.
Yeah, Quetzalcoatl's have. Hey, there! I just saw the picture. That looks like a bizarre, screwed up version of like Sonic on LSD.
If you say so.
Okay. So Quetzalcoatl is Sonic on LSD, and my personal favorite, if I may bring it on, is I really like classic basilisks, though, but the very chicken heavy ones, you know what I mean? The rooster heavy ones.
Okay.
They're colorful, and I mean, they have a lot of different interpretations, but some of them are awesome.
So not the Harry Potter snake basilisk, but
the
chicken monster basilisk.
The original one, like I would say, yeah. And I think that they are generally a combination out of chicken and I think it was snake.
Yeah, it's chicken. Well, I'll just throw another
picture. Reptile chicken thing. And it was like... What? It's the
looks
king
like a rooster.
Of serpents.
It looks like a rooster with a worm coming out of its ass.
Like snake tail, yeah. Or rat tail in this case.
Yeah, if you argue like that, then every animal with tail looks like a worm. Yeah, you know what you said. But yeah, the original basilisk has a chicken head. And some interpretations also depict them with chicken wings, and they are mostly very colorful because like roosters are.
You see, now I just have to wonder what would like a buffalo wings taste like if they were made from basilisk wings?
Very reptile-y.
Very good and testy. They would taste like whatever the sauce was that you put on them. That's exactly what they would fucking taste like.
Storm, tell them it like it is.
That's right. I have a favorite for you.
Okay.
Since obviously griffins are real, and anyone that says otherwise can go to hell, my favorite mythical creature...
Okay, sure. Go ahead. Continue.
would be the phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Now, are we talking all fiery explosion phoenix, or...?
Yes, the fiery explosions phoenix.
The one...
I've actually researched this bird. It's the lure behind them is, or lore, or the history behind them, I'll just say. It's very impressive, and the fact that they literally, at the end of their life, if you believe the legend, will turn to ash and rise again after bursting into flames... is incredible, and the symbolism behind that story and why they do it. Who wouldn't want a bird that explodes periodically and gives you a wonderful little chick to raise again? I mean, seriously.
I'd consider that a fire hazard in my house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your homeowner's insurance may go up a little bit, but hey.
Well, there goes the living room.
The thing is, they are actually present in a lot of different mythologies, like in the India, in the Egypt, even the Nordic ones, there are phoenixes. Even in the Indian one, there are phoenixes. I looked it up a bit, and wow, the phoenix is a very popular bird.
It's really weird how there's, like, this is definitely a divergent from the subject itself, but, like, I'm going to touch on dragons. But is it, like, it's really weird how every culture, I think save from Aboriginal Australians, have like a mythology like dragon basis. Like Americas had a mythological dragon. Europeans had a mythological dragon. Like Eastern, yeah. Like Asia, Asian like area, land, place, not being racist, had a variant of the dragon that was still very serpent-like, but a dragon nonetheless. Breathe fire, all this. So, I mean, I know it stems all the way back to the Mesopotamic era, because that's kind of, I mean, you can read texts that come from that era where they talk about these dragons, you know, things that breathe fire, they're reptiles, they're serpent-like, whatever, they breathe fire. And then it just kind of spread out from there as humanity spread out. But
well,
it's interesting how each culture has stuck very hard with, you know, having these mythological creatures.
That has indeed, the Taz are a very good reason why this is like that, and that's dinosaur bones, because they, not only in the modern times people found dinosaur bones.
That's true.
Even the Chinese and stuff, and then they thought like, they made their own thinking what that could be, and then they are like, oh, that must be a mystic beast, you know what I mean? And then they came up with dragons.
Real science theory, stems from mythology.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the old thing, how people believe dinosaurs would look like. And that's made dragons.
Oh, gee. Think about what the first humans must have thought when they saw a dinosaur bone. Think about it. That had to be like a hell of an experience.
Yeah, I mean, unearthing this thing, and maybe the largest animal you know of is an elephant, if you're so inclined to be able to, you know, have those as part of your life. and then uncovering this thing that's skull is half the size of an elephant, you're lost, man. You don't. Yeah. It's kind of like how we have had like two or three of the giant squids wash up on shore, like in the past decade. And we're just looking at those going, you're kidding, right? Where do these even come from? We've never seen a live one before, but here's its body on the shore now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very fascinating. And I bet on the bottom. I don't bet, so it's like pretty sure that on the bottom of the sea there are more creatures we have never seen.
Oh, we're constantly discovering new ones.
Yeah, I mean, man, we are even discovering new bugs every time we're shaking a tree in the rainwoods, you know what I mean, in the jungle. that's true.
Yeah, just about.
There are so many parts of the rainforest we still haven't fully explored. Because, I mean, really, I mean, you know, we think about it with our technology and drones and everything. Oh, we've explored the whole planet. No, we haven't. And these really rural areas where there's no roads, no helipads, etc., are so hard to get to that when scientists finally do get there, it's amazing what they see.
And we can get the scientists to actually survive long enough there that they can bring the research back.
Yeah, that can be interesting, especially if the native populations view us as hostiles.
Another interesting one is, now it's like a really common pet, but the New Caledonian Crested Gecko. Have you ever seen those guys? They're fucking cute.
No.
Actually, I haven't.
Really? Okay, I'll get a picture pulled up here as well. But I think roughly 15 to 20 years ago, we thought they were extinct. Just, they were gone, there were no more. And then a small colony of them was discovered on New Caledonia, which is an island off the coast of New Zealand. Where the scientists were able to take a batch of their eggs, and they readily bred in captivity. So now they're probably one of the most common household gecko pets.
Oh, cool.
I had one myself.
So we took them from being extinct to being a household pet.
But literally, literally in the time span of like 5 years.
Oh, man.
Something we should be proud of?
I would say so. I mean,
We repopulated them, more or less.
And they're actually doing well in the wild now, too. Like, well, better, I should say. I'm just trying to get a picture pulled up here. Sorry for the clicking.
Okay, to describe it, it has really big eyes.
And eyelashes. They have
eyelashes. Yeah, eyelashes. Oh, thorny
eyes. That is, okay, I'm not going to lie, that is adorable.
Oh, hang on.
That's very adorable.
Ignore that last link.
And that smile, that reptilian smile, and the arms, they are looking so fluffy.
They are. Okay, so I did not expect this when I got one for myself. I put in months of research before I got one back in the times that I had one.
Right.
And I finally got one, and they are the softest lizard I have ever touched. I don't understand. Yeah. Like, you touch them, and they're like, not even velvety, but almost silky, like, to touch. Like, not slippery. You touch them, it's obviously like skin, but they're like just really soft, and if you could make a pillow out of their tiny little bodies, you probably would.
How long do they live for?
They live for up to about 20 years. And they are complete sweethearts. Like, they don't mind human interaction at all. They'll happily crawl all over you, sit on your shoulder, lick your ear like some weird tiny reptile dog. And from snout to base of tail, they get about 4 inches long. So snout to vent, 4 inches long.
That's
at adult age. Yeah, so they're small. Okay. Like, they're small. You hold them in one hand, but they're still gecko-y. Like, you can stick them to the wall and they'll pad up the wall.
And what, live in a terrarium kind of deal?
Yep, very humid tropical terrarium.
Okay. Actually, some bigger lizards, they really enjoy if you stroke them. Like if you give them head scratches and stuff, they close their eyes.
Tegus!
That's super great. I stroke one as kid in a zoo, and he was like the mascot of this reptilian zoo.
Oh, nice.
And he was like free. He could walk around free in that etablissement. And he was one of the main attractions. And you really could like pet him, and he closed the eyes and enjoyed it.
So I would love to get a tegu one day. Savannah monitors in general are pretty awesome. I did actually have a savannah monitor for about 2 weeks as I was rehoming it. So the previous owners, they couldn't take care of it anymore. I took care of it for a couple weeks while I found a new home for it. And oh my God, it was also incredibly social and loved to be held, loved to just wander around the house. Like, it would follow me around the house and just sit at my feet like some weird reptile dog and let you pet it and love it. The only reason I wouldn't get one myself is because they smell so bad.
Oh, man.
And I know tegus would be the same way. I adore them, but they stink.
How bad do they stink, like on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would say...
10 being rotting sewage kind of deal.
You'd be able to smell it vaguely throughout your entire house, but if you walked into the same room as you had its enclosure, it would be a pretty pungent smell.
That would be bad.
Yeah, that would be a turnoff, not gonna lie.
Anyways, mythical creatures.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's our topic today.
We swear to God,
lizards are very mystical birds. With wings and I mean, we are improvising here, so and if we want to talk about reptiles, we will fucking do it.
Bird life. We're professionals.
Yeah.
So do you consider a Pegasus to be a form of a bird?
No.
It's got bird wings?
I would say, well, if that's literally the only quality about Pegasus. If that's the only thing that they have qualifying and redeeming them to be a even close to avian, I don't think it's enough. I don't.
Yeah,
it's like you have dogs with wings, and they're sparkly.
But it's not just, okay, but if it's feather wings, if it's with actual feathers,
it doesn't work like a Pegasus. Like you can't put wings on stuff and consider them as birds. So then we wouldn't.
Oh, I wouldn't say they're pure bird, but if they got feather-based wings, they're at least partial bird.
I will consider it bird if it's at least 33% or more avian.
Are you considering, just another question to you if you argue like that, are angels birds?
Yes. They're God's birds.
No, you have to stuck with it, right?
That's
they're the clearly title. God's birds.
That is the title of my autobiography. Angels. God's birds.
A new book coming to Barnes & Noble next year from Bad Bird Publishing.
It hasn't even hit shelves yet, and it's already a New York Times bestseller.
That's right. And on the back for the author profile, all you see is the back of Core's head as he looks away in shame.
The quotation under that picture is, "I can't believe you just bought this fucking book, you fucking idiot."
That's right. What other birds were known for, like the Egyptian times? I know I mentioned earlier, because I kind of asked you if your raven was related, but those three-eyed ravens I remember reading about showing up in, I think it was it Egyptian times?
Or I have no idea. I have no idea what you're talking about when it comes to three-eyed.
I think that could be Nordic mythology too. I heard about that three-eyed raven too, but I'm not sure if it's Nordic or pagan or. But I'm sure. Wait a second. A friend of mine made a. He made a paper about animals in the Norsen, in the Norse mythology, but
as far as Egyptian gods go, Horus, Thoth, and Ra. I think I gotta Google. Be my friend.
The thing that I think the most famous Norse mythology birds are Hugin and Munin.
Oh, today I learned Horus and Ra are the same bird. They're both. Horus is. What? Hang on.
Horus is not. Ra.
Okay,
Ra is the god of the sun, and Horus was, I think, time or something?
God of the sky. Horus was the sky, Ra was the sun. They are both birds. They are both very kestrel looking. They're falcony types of birds. And then Thoth is like a water crane of some sort. Ibis. He's an ibis. And he's god of the moon, measurement, wisdom, alphabet, records, thought, intelligence, meditation, the mind, logic, reason, reading, hieroglyphs, magic, secrets, scribes, and writing. God, overachiever.
Good lord.
Well, we have quite some more.
Corey, you just touched on something I find kind of funny.
Okay.
This bird you mentioned is god of all this bullshit, okay? So, here's the question I'm going to ask to both of you. So you, Corin, Fleeks, prepare to answer this question.
Okay.
If your bird self, was a god, what would you be god of?
Coffee.
What would be sort of your responsibility? Coffee.
God of the coffee.
Coffee. Yeah.
Coffee. Okay. My bird would probably be some forest god. Would be some forest god.
You'd be the god of deforestation, Fleeks.
The god of deforestation. That's good. That's good because woodpeckers hate trees.
So you'd be the god of peck peck. Okay.
Yeah, and griffins are more or less already. Griffins were made.
They fancy themselves to be demigods.
Yeah, they consider it. I think it. Eagles as the gods of the skies and lions as the god of the animals. King. And so they just put them together like, oh, let's put them together to make an even more mightier creature. And then they made griffins.
I actually read an article 2 years ago about griffins that said griffins were the animal embodiment Christ. I shit you not. That's what it said. Because of the eagle head representing the mind and the lion rear representing the body thereof.
Okay.
And I guess if you think about symbolism wise, kind of makes sense when you consider the majesty of those two animals respectively in their own way. So I can kind of see that.
Now that we are at religions, that's a good point for that's a good start for something I have planned today. I actually want to ask you, and it's somewhat similar to Storm's question, but not. I would like to create a bird religion with you, with mythical.
I need more
with gods and stuff. And.
I mean, it's a coping mechanism.
If the bird community would be a religion, who would be our god? What kind of god would we have? What species? What bird? I don't know. What do you think?
The seagull.
The cult.
I don't want to be on this podcast anymore.
And the seagull is called Steven.
And his favorite pastime is eating leftover food out of the IKEA garbage can. Those Swedish meatballs taste really good after 3 days of fermenting.
He keeps the world clean. That's symbolic for sins or bird sins are like the leftovers underneath IKEA trash cans.
Oh God! I think we need to write a letter to Pastafarianism and tell them we just trumped them. Screw your flying spaghetti monster. We got Seagull Jesus.
Steven Seagal.
That's right. He'll be the voice actor for Seagull Jesus.
The sunk. No, we don't need something like sank. We don't need real life religion titles. It's just Steven Seagal.
Oh God. And what, you don't want to know what's sad about that, Peck? Here's what's sad. What's sad is this. Steven Seagal, well, I guarantee you, has enough of an ego to actually agree to do that role. I guarantee fucking it.
Yeah, he has nothing to do with the real life Steven Seagal. It just sounds good, Steven Seagal. So who would not fold his hand? No, we wouldn't fold our hands. We are birds.
So every week we ask for challenges from our listeners. This week, I want to return a challenge to our listeners. Build this religion. Build the religion of Steven the Seagull. We've already established he purifies us. He by cleaning up after our garbage. I fucking don't know. He cleans up after our garbage.
No, it's just a symbolism. It's just a symbolism for he eats the garbage of IKEA stores to. To remember our sins and to he eats trash for our sins, you know.
He eats 3-day-old IKEA meatballs.
Why specifically
for
IKEA?
Our sins? I don't know.
It's the first thing that popped in my fucking brain.
And now what's horrible is. I kind of want IKEA meatballs. Like they have really good meatballs.
Yeah, that's like the host here from the German from the Christian culture. You know, the host you get served to the Catholic religion. And our wine is Pepsi.
Why Pepsi? Can't we just do beer?
No. It's not just Pepsi. It's Crystal Pepsi.
Okay, I'm behind
you. Right.
I can
back Crystal that. Pepsi is the blood of Steven Seagal.
They brought Seagal. Back Crystal Pepsi, and it's actually pretty good. I never had the original, but it's pretty good.
I like it. I'm not going to lie. I do. I think it's pretty tasty.
Not everybody likes wine. Not everybody likes beer. So going with Crystal Pepsi Light, we should... to that, because yeah, if so, some people have diabetes or stuff.
The beetus. You got the case of the beetus.
So sugar-free Pepsi Crystal. Got it.
Yeah, sugar-free Pepsi Crystal and Seagal Steven. Actually, we should not say Steven Seagal because we could like...
just Steve Seagal.
Confuse it. So no, just Seagal Steven.
Seagull Steven.
And Seagull Steven poops raisinets for no reason.
You're not allowed to talk about the defecation of holy birds.
If you ever want to know, kids, if you ever want to know where raisinets come from, anyways.
And I'm back to not wanting to be on this podcast anymore.
Heresy. That's heresy, right. Too.
It's not an authentic podcast unless I make at least one.
That's your third.
Yeah, yeah. So we have our Seagull Steven now.
Okay. What would the places of worship be like for Seagull Steven, our Lord and Savior?
The beach.
Why the beach? I have no beach. The people should have the chance to.
No, if you're dedicated to the religion, you'll go to the beach.
It's a fast food restaurant in the or the canteen in the IKEA. That's so easy.
Then you just gather around the nearest large body of water, and that's your place of worship.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have one, the retention pond at your local IKEA.
Okay. To build an and altar tithings. Would be like you would piling up sand and dropping some salt water over it. Then you have good. So if you're on a travel or in the middle of nowhere, you just take some sand, a bit of salt and water, you can.
To tithe to the church, you throw potato chips out onto the beach.
Yeah, for the
potato chips.
Yep, as a sacrifice to the actual seagulls that are flying around.
Yeah. What about Cheetos?
No, Cheetos are bad for birds.
Yeah. Spicy potato chips are better.
Spicy specifically.
Fun fact: back in the 70s and 80s, to control the seagull population, the city of Chicago soaked bread in pop. And other solutions, and when the seagulls would eat them, since seagulls cannot burp, well, you can figure out what happened from there.
Yeah, that's cruel.
Yep.
The EPA shut them down because of animal cruelty, but literally that's how they controlled the seagull population for a while. This is a true story.
Hey, anyways. You know, we learn by our mistakes.
Yeah. That's right.
And we get better. That's right. Supposedly.
In theory. Just don't look at the current government. Anyways. So for our Lord and Savior, God Seagull, how would he look like? Would he wear anything? Would he have certain feather colors? What do you think?
He would have to have a red sash.
A red sash, okay. Let's put a red sash on a normal standard Norsen seagull, and you have our god.
Yep, there we go.
I'm thinking his talons on the bottom got to have some bling, you know, at least some jewelry or some shit.
Okay, how about, because they have webbed feet, seagulls have webbed feet, and they, you know, stomp the ground to get the worms to rise up. How about we give him some really stylish sneakers?
Well, that sounds badass. Some Jordans? Some seagull Jordans?
Yeah.
Some Jordans or Jordan. Converse. Little tiny seagull Converse. And Ray-Bans. He needs sunglasses, so we got to give him little tiny seagull Ray-Bans.
Well,
God.
What kind of sunglasses? Like
Ray-Ban.
Ray-Bans. Yeah, okay. Ray-Ban's a brand of sunglass. It's an expensive brand of sunglass, depending on where you go and what model you get, too.
Our bird god be pimpin'. Yo.
That's right. And is he going to have the big necklace with, you know, the big dollar sign on it or a big golden feather hanging?
Like no, he's got the sash. He's got the red sash hanging around him. But I guess the trim of the sash could be gold.
All right, I'm digging it. I feel you.
It's also we having a super luxurious bird with gold neck thingy, and it eats trash. That's a great symbolism, like.
Oh my god! Well, it's official, folks. We've invented the new GERD bird god.
GERD bird.
How would our cult? Religion. What name would it have?
We didn't think of a name.
Because now we have a god, but how do we diverse ourselves from other birds that are not believing in Seagull Steven?
Hmm.
Hmm.
That's a great question.
We've painted ourselves into a corner here.
So why don't we... Hey, I got a solution. Why don't we pitch this to our listeners?
Yeah.
Listeners, if you're listening, come up with a name for our Siegel-based insane religion.
And additional details.
Right. And the best ideas will be featured on the show and we will discuss them. And I will, of course, make a shirt out of it eventually. I'm not sure about that.
Shameless self-marketing. I cannot pronounce.
No, it's for the show.
Have you seen his t-shirts? I'd want it.
Yeah.
Market. Yeah. Money.
Fucking shameless capitalism at its best there, ladies and gentlemen.
I actually have a game to Mr. Mystical Birds, and I want to play it with you. And I call it... And it's a one-time thing, so it will not become a series, but I still gave it the name Mystic or Fake. And the rules is, I will tell you the name of different mythological birds, creatures, and some made-up fake names. And you have to decide if it's fake or not. And you get bonus points if you can tell me the origin of the bird creature. If it shouldn't be fake, of course. Because my mind is not a legit origin.
Until today.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm like drunk. So good luck.
You're what?
Yeah, you will make it. You will make it. Yeah, but you both of you have the chance to say yes or no. So, well, however you.
So it's
going,
true or false whether what true you mentioned false. To us is it's a real fake. Mythical bird, real mythical bird, or a fake mythical bird.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an oxymoron here somewhere.
There's a couple digging around in that sentence.
If it's a fake bird or a fake, the question is just: did I make it up or did some culture make it up?
Okie dokie.
So, the
Cardus,
is it fake or is it not a fake?
Can you say the name again, please, one time?
Cardus, Cordus.
That's real.
Fake.
What do you say? And that's 1 point for Core. That's how the game works. 1 point for Core.
That's how the game works. Give Core points. That's how the game works. Just give him points. Just more points.
And I don't. Points. I don't.
This
I,
is
I do
racism.
Not...
This is racism against black griffins.
I do not ask you for the origin, since it clearly came from my mind. The rainbird.
Real.
Just rainbird, like the word rain. Okay, Corsair is real. What are you saying, Storm?
Rainbird sounds real.
And it is real. It's actually Native Americans thought of the rainbirds that is.
I thought we were supposed to guess their origin.
Oh, fuck. I messed that up. Okay. So you're getting a point there.
Well done, host. Well done.
Fine. Just roll
it's
with
early
it.
Here.
It's fine.
It's early here. Yeah. So just for an example, it comes from the Native Americans, and they believe the rainbird brings the rain and life at all. So, I will try not to mess it up with the next one.
Okie dokie.
So, Ardana. Ardana. A-D-A-R-N-A.
Real.
Okay.
Gut says that sounds believable, so I would say real.
Real. It is real. And where does it come from? It's a country in this case. Just
Egypt?
What do you say?
Hang on. I'm thinking. I want to go with. I want to say African or Indian, so I'll go with African.
Actually, this was a bit heavy, and I'm sorry for that. It's from the Philippines.
Ooh.
And that bird is believed to have healing powers, but it puts people to sleep and turns people into stone, too. So it's a
that's how it heals
bird.
You. Oh, you're dying. Let me turn you into a rock.
Yeah.
I don't know. It puts a new meaning to the expression. I'm between a rock and a hard place.
Hard than a rock. Okay. Very good. As next, we have Feng Shui.
Fake.
Feng Shui.
That sounds so fake.
And both of you are right. It's from my mind. So at the moment, Core is in the lead with 1 point. Maybe you could be like, have different opinions on the next one. Who knows?
Bennu. Storm, you're going to answer the next one first this time.
Bennu. B-I-N-N-U.
Bennu?
Bennu, yeah.
Fake.
Real.
And Core gets another point. And where does Bennu come from?
That one sounds kind of Malaysian, or it sounds like an Islander kind of thing as well. I'll go with that.
And Storm? Bennu.
Bennu. I'm going to say Europe.
Europe isn't a country, but
I don't know. Somewhere in Europe.
But you're entirely wrong. It's from Egypt. It's an Egyptian bird creature. And it's practically the Egyptian phoenix. So then we have the Hepu.
Yeah, spell that one out for us as well.
Hepu. H, I don't know how to pronounce it. H-I-I-P-U.
You see, I'm trying to figure this out right now because you said you don't know how to pronounce it, but if you made it up in your mind, you would know how to pronounce it. But you could be trying to do like a red herring effect on me here and like misdirect me.
Oh, Carl, would you just pick a damn answer?
Fake.
You're both right. I made that, You saw through me, Core. Or you did. Yeah.
Or did I?
I almost thought. Hepu actually was inspired by the band Uriah Heep. it was just a random thought. That's a word, a made up word. I don't know if that. Maybe it's something that exists, but not a bird, not a mystical bird. Then, as next. So both of you have that answer right away. Wait a second. So okay. And the next one, and I don't know how to pronounce it again, is Electrion. Electrion.
Spell that one.
A L I C. No, not E. A L E C T R Y O N.
Can you use it in a sentence?
The Electrion is a mystical bird that I did not make up. Because I did not make up.
Storm, you got a clue?
This is right on the fence for me, I'm not going to lie. What are you thinking?
I got no idea here. I want to swing with fake.
Okay, Corsair's fake. So the only chance to Storm say something. Only two questions are left, and Core is in the lead.
I want to change my answer to real.
I'll go real on this just for the sake of being different than Core.
Storm, it's actually real. it's a rooster from what mythology? You still have the chance to make some points here.
Mythology.
Where does this rooster come from? From what country?
Turkey.
Maya.
Turkey. You're both wrong. It's from the Greeks, and it's actually a rooster that Aiden a very worthy, very expensive gem. That's what it did.
Okay.
I should.
And actually, Electro Fencer has her name from that, if you know her. At least I think so. At least she knew about that. But okay, could be fake news. So the next one I have comes from let me start again. Sorry. The next one I have for you, and it's the last one. So I will let choose Storm first. Well, because the only thing he can do now is like taking another choice than you, Cor, and well.
So if he gets this one, we tie. If he
doesn't get a one, you win with 2 points.
Okay.
So.
Nah, it would be 1 point.
De Garuda.
De Garuda.
Mm-hmm. Or De Garuda? No, De Garuda. It's G A R U D A.
What the hell? I'll just say it's real for the hell of it.
You say it's real. What are you saying, Cor?
What if I want to say that it's real, too?
You can. It's not going to hurt anything.
You
can. It's not going to hurt anything.
I should have taken Cor first. No, I see my mistake. But yeah, you can still win with getting the origin right, Storm.
So it is real.
Yep. It sounds like it's real.
No. Okay. Oh, fuck. I screwed it up. So,
Storm, you and I have got Fleeks just going in circles in his own mind. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the last one. So, So where does it come from?
Well, if it's real, if it's fake, it comes from this beautiful place known as Fleeks' mind. If it's real, I'm going to say it comes from Bulgaria, because why not?
I'm going to go with Dutch.
Dutch. Does Dutch even have a mythology?
They do today, because I said so.
You're both wrong. In this, it comes from the Hindus and the Buddhists. So you even had a broader target. You could have called all the Asian countries. And in that area, and you would have been right.
Yeah, next time if we do something like this, go with continents. That way we only have one of seven to pick from instead of one of 200
and
something.
Yeah, or who's the closest?
There's 200 and something fucking countries in the world, and you expect us to know which one the goody goody two shoe bangdara bird is from? I mean, for fuck's sake.
I think Cor one and I screwed up. I'm the true loser of this game today because I screwed everything up. But next time I will make that better.
If I were a dragon, I'd be hoarding Fleek's points.
Do you want to go to the questions of our listeners, Cor?
Yeah, let's do that.
So our first question today.
We have some good questions, to be honest.
Yes, we do. We got better questions at fucking 3 o'clock in the morning than we did at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You birds are night owls, damn it. All right. First question comes from Flair. And the question is this. What is the square root of bird?
The square root of bird is...
Hang on, let me get out my bird calculator.
Yeah, let's go to the bird calculator.
The square root of bird, to me, is chick. Because you got to
square if you. Comes out if you square a three-dimensional object.
Oh my god! You both are thinking of this like engineers. You need to think of this like a bird.
We are entering the fourth dimension here, man.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, my graph does not. I put in square root bird, and my calculator just comes up with an unhappy face.
Mine is beeping.
Okay, what we are learning out of this is don't square birds. Just don't square birds. It's not nice to birds.
Don't square birds. Just give them loving greetings and tell them how pretty they are.
Actually, that's one of the first commandments from Seagull Steven. Don't square birds.
All right, next question. This comes from the legendary secretary.
Why are they all legendary? Can we address that for a moment?
Legendary.
They're all legendary. Probably,
Because damn it, I said they're legendary, Cor, and that's all I should have to say.
Well, no, this question was asked in chat earlier.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yes. You saw.
They're legendary because I am the one that picks the questions and I decide who's legendary. And if I decide to pick your question, you become legendary within the culture of Berdania. That's why. So
you become a prophet in the religion of Steven Seagal.
That's right.
We can't just give Seagal Steven titles like legendary and holy or
burden. Okay, fine.
Like, why? Like the Catholics do it.
They have to earn it.
Fine, yeah. I'll mix it up. So the mildly famous Secretary Tweets asks, who's a good bird?
Me is a good bird. Me.
None of them. We're not dogs. We're held to higher standards. We're capable of being bad, if we so choose.
You know?
I'm a good bird. I'm a good bird.
Me. He's a griffin. He's a cat, and cats don't care about being a good cat. Bird or something before being good. But the thing I want to say,
I'm not a good bird.
Tweets, you are the good bird.
Yes, tweets. You are definitely the good bird. And next question comes from the somewhat spectacular Elijah J.
Somewhat the spectacular.
The question is, actually, it's a challenge. My apologies. Make blue jay sounds.
They are corvids. They can make like every sound. They can imitate every sound.
I'm a whore.
Here's my blue jay sound for you. 99 cents, sucky sucky.
So that's our opinion of blue jays.
Blue jays are the foxes of the birds. That was my theorem. This is what I am always saying. My hypothesis, you could say. That was it.
next question comes from the most interesting bird of the world, Ace O'Reilly, and the question is, how do I beep? And this is a very good question. What do you think, Cor?
Ace, are you not a bird? I think we need to check some credentials on this bird, guys.
I mean, birds can beep from birth on.
Yeah, I think we need to check your Birdanian paperwork.
But
Ace, are you a traitor? Or were you suddenly converted to birdism late in life? Because it should be a natural instinct. You just inhale air in your lungs and you just let it out to the heavens.
Guys. I think it's more like a scientific question. You know, how do they even beep? How can they produce beeps? And it comes from the beeping organ in the they have in their chest. If you see, a lot of artists always are drawing the beeping sound lines from the chest of birds. Have you ever seen that? They do that. A lot of them. And that are the ones who know that birds are not beeping from the beak, but from their chest. And it's a organ that's pretty similar to to a honk.
To honk?
Yeah, a horn, you know.
So if you squeeze the bird gently, it just goes...
It would beep. More or less. But pretty in much. A more beefier version.
Automate replace horns with birds. Time for our weekly question from... Oh no, it's Juco! The question is this.
So if you were to give him a title, it would be the Mediocre Juco?
I'm not pink, Juco. The question is, what sound does the Walmart bird make?
Walmart has
He already posted the answer, too.
He posted what he thinks the answer would be. I've got a theory as to what the answer would be.
I think the sound of Walmart birds would be...
The sound of fluorescent lights?
The sound of
Yeah.
The sound of Walmart birds for me would be I always lower prices. And then, you know, cash register drawers.
Or they would, it's just only, welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Can I do something for you? Walmart.
Can I do something?
I'm working here for 10 years, and they don't let me go. Please send help.
So he said, "How? For the love of God, please put the merchandise back where it belongs. My God, I don't want to take ice cream out of the pantyhose section anymore. Please."
I never was in a Walmart, but I saw it a lot on TV.
What about you, Cor? What do you think the sound of a Walmart bird makes?
I don't know about the Walmart employee birds, but I know the sounds of the customers of Walmart bird, the customer birds of Walmart, are the most mediocre Jesus. Or stoned beeps of ever.
Yeah, beep.
The hangover beeps.
Beep, where is the tomato shoes? Beep.
Got the next question.
Our next question comes from the Hatch Day Hooper himself, Fallopi. And the question is this. What artwork have you commissioned that you love so much that you hung on your wall in your home? I'll start with you, Fleeks.
I think almost all of my traditional work I have frames for, and all my badges are on my wall. So, well, I'm like, I don't know. I'm alone here, and I put all my expensive furry art on the wall.
And in contrast to that, I don't. All of my work, everything I've had done, is not on display in real life.
I mean, not everything I have. I have to correct that. I mean, only the ones you can put on a wall without
Post-it notes strategically placed.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Anyone that visits my FA gallery will quickly realize that 90% of my artwork is not displayed on my wall. But to answer this question, I have two pieces of artwork. One is Storm sitting on a stoop holding his warrior spear. The other one is looking off into the horizon. And Fleeks, get your head out of the trash can.
Warrior spear is good. The name of Storm's penis.
God! Oh, yes, that is another
right
way
there
of
with
calling
him.
Storm penis. Yes, yes, yes. And it provides all the purple drink you could ever want.
It's thin and pokey.
I swear to God, I'm not going there with this.
Sorry, you're sitting on a stump holding your grip.
You can't follow that statement up like that. You can't say most of my artwork is dirty, but then there's this one where I have a warrior. You can't do that. You can't put that out there and not expect us to take this in that direction.
I'm going to put my spear in places that will make you squawk in ways you've never squawked before.
Buy me dinner first.
You got it. Anyways, I got two pieces of art. One of them is the aforementioned on the stoop picture. The other one is Storm in a more tribal outfit looking off to the horizon. And these are excellent pieces of work. I have both printed and framed, and I actually used the one where Storm's looking off onto the horizon as my desktop. You can see both of these images on my FA gallery. furaffinity.net/user/stormgriffin.
It's my desktop wallpaper, too.
Really?
No.
Of course not. Dick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to be creepy for a second. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So, last question of the day. You guys ready for this?
Ready
the last user question of the day. I'm ready.
All right, it's a two-parter. First part, it's from the Chirpalicious Feedy. And the question is, what's your ordinary morning procedure?
Wake up.
The snooze button.
Literally roll out of bed onto the floor. Snails slug my way across the floor into the kitchen. Haphazardly throw everything together to make a pot of coffee. Fall asleep on the floor waiting for the pot of coffee to finish brewing. And then when it's finished brewing, get up and directly insert coffee into veins.
Yeah, mine is snooze button, snooze button, snooze button. Five minutes between the snooze button presses. Snooze button, snooze button, snooze button, snooze button. Fuck, I'm too late. Standing up, getting under the shower, getting outside with wet hairs, forgetting half of my shit, going back, going outside again, forgetting my smartphone or something, getting in again, missing the bus, coming barely early enough to wherever I'm going to, and it's actually often not really a morning, but sometimes I just wake up at 10 a.m., sometimes I wake up at 15, German time measure, at 3 p.m. or 2 p.m., depending on the day and when I have lectures or if I'm in vacations or whatever. But yeah, I tend to oversleep a lot. But I'm always, Fleeks. Always early. So, not early, but yeah.
Fleeks, yeah? You're my spirit animal.
Whereas for me, as some of you know, I work insane hours. So, because I am an IT support Griffin, so I work any shift you can think of any day of the week. So there are some days I work overnight, some days I work morning, some days I work afternoons. God only knows when I'm working a given day. However, my routine is always like this. Set an alarm, and then I set another alarm 15 minutes later. First alarm goes off. I hit snooze once. Then it goes off again. Pisses me off enough to where I go to my phone and turn off my alarm clock and all the ringers on my phone. I lay there and stare at the ceiling for about 5 minutes. Get out of bed. Crawl into the shower. Take a shower. And by the time the shower is done, I feel like $1 million. Go and grab a monster, because I do in the morning. Make myself a little breakfast. And get ready to take on the world. And most of the time, I take great pride in getting to my appointments for clients or doctors or whatever I'm doing about at least 15 minutes early.
I'm actually kind of surprised. So, like, I was kind of being facetious earlier when I said, but my actual wake-up routine is I set an alarm on my phone. I don't hit snooze. If I'm still groggy, I'll just flip the light on my room on, and I might, like, lay there and look at my phone for 10-15 minutes, but like as soon as it's time to get out of bed, I actually get out of bed. I'm not happy about it, and yeah, I need my coffee, but wow.
Oh, I have a hard time getting up from bed. I have such a hard time.
I actually profound hatred of the snooze button, because it keeps lulling you back into that sense of, oh, I have more time, when usually when you set your alarm clock, you set it with mind of, I need to wake up at this point.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, which is why I set two alarms. So that way, if I want to play the snooze game, I can do it in between. But my brain is fucking weird or amazing, depending on your perspective, in that it has an internal clock. And what happens most mornings, seriously, is my brain will wake me up about 10 minutes before my alarm is supposed to go off. Don't care when I set the alarm for, I'm waking up 10 minutes before, and I'm looking at my clock, and I think the same thing every time. Fuck! I could have got 10 more minutes of sleep.
Yeah, I know that feeling. And actually, the snooze button is not good, because every time you're falling asleep again, you're starting your sleeping circle again. And the sleeping circle starts with a deep sleep phase, more or less. And that makes you even more tired. The more you wake up, the more you fall asleep again, the more
and then you have to
tired
get,
you will be.
You actually have to pull yourself out of that sleepiness when you actually get up, and you've already like deepened and worsened yourself for so much.
Yeah. The snooze button really is torture, but when I wake up, I can't think straight, and I'm just like, no, I want to sleep just 5 minutes more.
Yeah, what they need to do is they need to invent a nap button that you can lay down, you hit the nap button, and in a pre-programmed amount of time, either 30 minutes or 1 hour, it wakes you up.
I think there's a third-party app you can get for Android phones that does something like that.
Oh, yeah. My app has that feature, so I have it set for half an hour, but yeah.
Okay, cool.
The thing is, for me, I can't... absolutely fucked.
I can't take... I mean, I love the concept of taking a nap in the middle of the day, but I can't ever do it, because if I do it, it fucks my night sleep schedule up so much that I'm better off just powering through and chugging coffee or doing whatever I need to do to stay up and going to bed early than I am taking a nap, because if I take a nap, I'm just fucked.
What's actually pretty good, did you ever hear about power naps?
I've heard of power naps, and sometimes, every once in a while, if I'm lucky, I'll wake up at the sweet spot of my REM cycle on a nap, and it works very well. But my luck, I usually don't, and it takes me forever to get going again, and it just sucks.
Actually, power naps are, as I know power naps, it's your, I did them a few times when I still was at working at a, when I still was working in the, when we had a pause, you know, when we had lunch or something. I just was like laying down on the couch in the employment room. And I held a key in my hands. And then I closed my eyes. And as soon as the key falls down, that means you're falling asleep. But in that moment, you're like, have to wake up again. And you feel super refreshed. It really works. And I did that a few times. So that's how I survived working days.
I've done stuff like that where I'll nap, and then around the point where I'm actually falling asleep, you kind of like jolt back up awake. It lasts for about, I mean, if you actually get up and start moving around immediately after that, the effect only lasts for like half an hour for me. To me, a power nap, and I did this in high school, was I would chug an energy drink, like down it as quick as I can. And then I would take a nap for about half an hour, and then wake up. And the caffeine amount, like, it worked on a much younger Core Raven, wouldn't work so well now. But I'd be fully energized for another 16 hours, just about.
Okay,
I would down two of those 5 hour energies and then take an hour nap.
Yeah, that's actually a strategy I have too. If I have like learn through the whole night for an exam, and then I have to sleep like 2 hours left, you know, 2 hours left sleep, and I'm like, fuck, I have to sleep or I fuck up the exam. I will take in a caffeine pill and then go to sleep, and I will wake up like and feeling like I slept like 9 hours. It's not healthy, but in an emergency, I think it's legit.
Yeah.
I will wrap it up with asking you both of you if you would rather be a naked cockatiel or would you rather be a human with feathers?
Human with feathers.
That one actually is kind of a bit more of a challenge to think of. The last ones you gave me were like easy, like would you rather rhyme or would you rather be naked 24/7? I'd rather rhyme all the time, thank you. In this case, I think I'm going to go with naked cockatiel, though. I don't know why.
Human with feathers for me, because it's the wide variety of feathers and colors and stuff you can pick from. I think you could still look kind of cool.
All I can picture is being tarred and feathered, so it just doesn't sound pleasant. Sounds itchy. Sounds really itchy.
Actually, I think a human with feathers would look like a feathered Bigfoot. maybe some people would like that, but actually naked cockatiels are pretty cute too. There is actually a naked cockatiel that's pretty famous on, how is it called? The one where you can upload your photos, that app, Instagram. Yeah, and oh god, that is a lovely bird. It can't fly, it can't do anything, but it's so adorable. You have to see that bird. It's just, but a human with feathers, I think both would have its advantage. I can hardly decide this, and I did not make a decision so far. I just said that naked cockatiels are cute, but I don't know. You would be pretty unique as a human with feathers, and maybe it looks good, and maybe you find some. I don't know. Your hugs would be amazing, I think. So I think I would tend more to the human with feathers too. But the naked cockatiel, I would just throw a coin if I had to choose between that. But, yeah.
No, I think tonight's episode's actually been a lot of fun. And I love joining you both. And to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, because, you know, we wouldn't be able to do this without you. You guys are what keep us going.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. Who wants to do the outro?
Yeah, I wanted to say that too. Our Australian magpie really likes to give kisses, but since working conditions, she's only allowed to kiss paying birds. Wait, is that prostitution?
Sounds like prostitution. Fucking sex slave. We have kiss trafficking on bird life. Kiss no, it's trafficking.
She's volunteer. She's volunteer. Okay. She's volunteer. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure she's volunteering.
We are not prostituting birds.
Hey, so, but we do hear if you give $100 bucks or more. I do hear if you give above $100, she's willing to do a little bit more than just kiss. If you know what I'm saying.
Preening. Yeah, exactly. She would preen you.
I don't even want to fathom what we would do if someone, for whatever reason, donated $100 to us.
Cor would do a strip show.
No, I wouldn't.
I would. A strip show, exactly, on a podcast. A strip show on a podcast, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
I would
do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, kick on the porno so music.
Oh, God. I think more of a classical French tune, like this, with tubas and stuff. No, not tubas, but
breath. Okay, that's what you can strip to, Fleeks.
Yeah, I would do a classy, you know, not oots oots oots, classy.
All right, well, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, or wherever it is that you find your podcasts. You can also join us on the BirdLife chat room on Telegram. And Twitter, Facebook, and I think that's about it, right? Right?
Yep.
And then I just want to line it out. Join our Telegram chat. It's a lot of fun.
You get to ask questions and, you know, participate.
And you can get to know us, because we're actually very friendly people.
Well,
and you even can, when we're not drunk.
They and are. Not me.
And you can also ask us questions on Twitter too. I'm always looking for the hashtag #AskBirds with you, like our show, and for challenge birds. So if you do that on Twitter, you can do it there too if you want to.
It's true.
That's right.
Thank you, and always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Beep it up, mother cluckers. What the hell? I'll just say it's real for the hell of it.
You say it's real. What are you saying, Cor?
What if I want to say that it's real, too?
You can. It's not going to hurt anything.
You can.
It's not going to hurt anything.
All right,
I should have, like, I should have take core first. Now I see my mistake. But yeah, you can still win with getting the origin right, Storm.
So it is real.
Yeah. It sounds like it's real.
No. Okay. It, oh, fuck. I screwed it up. So actually, I made up this kind of question. I made up this quiz in 3 minutes because this podcast here is super spontaneous.
It was very spontaneous.
Yes, this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, was supposed to start almost 12 hours later. But some other fuckers decided, we're all awake. Let's just down some caffeine and do this shit.
You said yes.
Yes.
All three of us were like, yeah, sure, let's do it. That's what happened.
No, it's your fault.
I played the fifth. Actually,
let's make Seagull Steven a female.
So, Stevenette?
No, Steven.
So, female, but named Steven.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's canon for seagulls. They are confused with their own, with giving good names, proper names. Yeah, Steven. I mean, echoing God is pretty neat. Yeah, good for more symbolics.
Okay, sure.
I mean, that's how Easter was created.
That's how what was created? Easter?
Yeah, the Easter party.
Wow.
Wasn't that one based off of the solstice?
No, it was. It comes from Seagull Steven laying eggs.
Christmas
and
solstice.
It was stolen by the Christians.
Okay, let's see. All right.
I'm not sure. Were you trying to be a ghost?
What?
Ooh.
We got a few questions.
This is a little too spooky for me.
I watch you in my room. Okay, anyways.